Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. How many did you get saved today in the bus? Any? Well, amen. All right. How was our bus attendance today?
Close to 50.
It's a good day. All right. Well, praise the Lord for that. And a lot of people to be reached. Now, God's sending more people into our area. Have you noticed that? This area is growing by leaps and bounds, and we're responsible to see to it that they get the gospel. So you pray for us, and let's pray for our church, that we not only be effective at getting the gospel out to everyone in our community, but that we do a better job at winning people to Christ, and that we do a better job of getting them to follow up in believers' baptism and getting faithful in a local New Testament Bible-believing church. And I happen to know of a good one. And so, you know, just be much in prayer. This is serious stuff. You know what? Whether it be Rwanda or Uganda or Madison, Alabama, lost people in those places all go to the same hell. One soul is not worth more than another soul. Now, I thank God that we have a church that has been allowed by the grace of God to get the gospel to a number of different countries, not only through missionaries out of Madison Baptist Church, but missionaries that we support that are in other places. But, you know, the population is growing faster than what the church is reaching them. We've got to do a better job. We have to be more fervent. Now, this is a time where when I hear the word fervent, my heart is stirred, but my body goes, oh, no. Because the body just doesn't respond like it used to. And we realize that for those of us that have gotten older. For those of you who are still young, you understand that you got to step up. You have to step up. Too many times we get caught up in everything that's going on around us, except for the things that God cares about most. And that's the souls of men and women and boys and girls. We're responsible as a church. Now, you know, you look at our missionary group is getting older. And older. And it won't be long. When I say our missionary group, I'm talking about Madison Baptist Church World Missions. Some will be coming off the field. Who's going to take their place? You understand? The whole church is still responsible to carry on, to work, do the job. So you be much, much in prayer about that, and that God will give us wisdom to help lead us in the right way. I want to preach a message tonight. How does it all fit together? In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 40, the scripture says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort." Now that he there is Peter, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued. Now think about that. They just left the upper room. I've been to the upper room. It's not real big. You know, 120 met in the upper room to pray. Do you know how many services they'd have to have the next day to get everybody together in that upper room? You went from 120 to 3,120. They didn't stop witnessing because the building would be full now. They didn't stop witnessing because the building would be overcrowded. We're going to read in verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They just kept winning them. Amen. And they didn't stop witnessing because they had their hands full at discipling the ones that had won. They continued on. We read statements like, the Lord multiplied the believers. We find over in chapter 4, in the beginning of it, 5,000 men get saved at one time, added to this group here. That church was growing rapidly. Think of the nightmare that would be, Brother Wally, for us to come up with plans to seat those 3,120, only to find out that 4 days later we've got to worry about seating 5,000, and we underplanned. And we hadn't even dug the first spade of dirt yet. How big are we going to make this thing? Where's it going to come from? Well, just think about some of the trials that they were having to get through. So they that gladly received his word were baptized. Same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, doesn't say weekly, Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Father, enlarge our vision, I pray. Help us to understand the urgency of the hour. We have so many seemingly horrific things taking place every day that attract our attention. Meanwhile, lost souls are falling into the abyss. Lost souls are burning in hell. There are more that are coming into our area that have not the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have a responsibility to reach them. God, help us not to get sidetracked by the national things and the international things like pandemics and things like that. Help us to understand our mission, what we are here for. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Madison Baptist Church has grown in a number of ways, of course, over the years. And the question becomes, how in the world does all of this fit together? Now, I'm going to end up leaving out some ministries, not on purpose, but there's an awful lot of things that have to go on every week and that go on every week at Madison Baptist Church. Obviously, we have morning worship services, and you get an idea of some of the struggles that we went through that with the pandemic to see to it that people still allowed to worship and got the opportunity to worship, even to having two services in the morning and two in the afternoon or in the evening, as well as having the same two on Wednesdays that we've had. By the way, we have four children's churches that also have to take place. Baby and toddler nurseries, now that we're back to that, that was closed down for a while. 30-plus Sunday school classes, I'm talking about for the whole church, and for the whole church, that would include Our bus Sunday school classes that haven't been going on yet. We're going to be kicking those back up again for our B Sunday school round. That includes our Spanish. I used to kid with people that we have an A, B, and C Sunday school. We have the A Sunday school at 9:30. We have the B Sunday school at 12 o'clock. And we have the C, spelled S-I, Sunday school, C Sunday school at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. What? ABC Sunday school. It's all got to go together. It all has to fit. We have a Spanish ministry. And, you know, fitting out the schedule for the Spanish ministry and the English ministry that we have, that's not always an easy task to get going. Soul winning, of course, is paramount and must take place. Ladies outreach, teen ministry, Lighthouse Kid Clubs, Eager Beavers. What are we calling the young kids now? Miss Bailey, can you tell me what we call the young kids? They're not maidies anymore. You just call them all, even the little bitty ones. Okay, Pee Wee Pirates. They call themselves pirates? Well, I guess that's what they act like. Okay, so that's fine. Obviously, we have to have an usher's ministry that takes place, and thank God for those that are over that. Bus ministry, that takes people. Every week it takes drivers. And sometimes that's a real challenge to come up with drivers because people get sick. People do take vacations and go places. And, of course, we've got Brother Brian has to work all that out every week, as well as the workers to do the visiting and so on. Then there's the Sunday evening service and the Spanish services, the three midweek services that we have, the Spanish Bible Institute, the Madison Bible Institute, the Madison Baptist Theological Seminary, the Madison Baptist Academy. And then we've got Madison Baptist Church World Missions. Now, there's an awful lot that that entails because we have to have people that take care of things back here, that take care of the money that comes in from the different churches. I mean, we're obviously big supporters of the Madison Baptist Church World Mission missionaries, but there are a lot of churches out there, about 800, I think. Is that right? About 800 different churches that support at least one of our missionaries. We've got some that support five, six, seven of our missionaries. But you realize just taking care of the finances for them, plus taking care of some things back home for those missionaries, that's a lot going on. And all in a local church. It takes people to get that stuff going. Then you've got just simply our worldwide missions program with the missionaries that we support, having these people in and supporting the right kind of missionaries. Plus, we have WVMB, our radio station. It's a low-power radio station. It's also over the Internet. It reaches pretty much all of Athens, reaches back sometimes to Madison Baptist Church. But nevertheless, it gets out there. There are people that listen to it, they hear it. Well, somebody has to run it. Thank you, Donnie Limbaugh, for keeping that thing going and doing what he does. But sometimes we need other people also to help out in that because we do go off the air from time to time. And, you know, things just have to be fixed. Then you've got live streaming services. I mean, now that we're running over the Internet, something I never wanted to do. I never wanted to run over the Internet live. But we did that because of the pandemic. We did that for our people who would not be able to get out during the pandemic. Now, you may ask the question, why didn't you want to do it live? Because some people, it becomes such a convenience tool that even when they could get out, they wouldn't get out. Several years ago, I was preaching at a rather big ministry up in another state. I was preaching on a Wednesday night. Now, it had not been announced that I was going to be preaching that night because, matter of fact, the pastor asked me to preach during that week. We were going to be traveling through there on a family vacation. And I had a family that we had known a long time ago in another ministry. And the lady came up to me after the service and she said, "Brother Allison, I'm so glad that I came tonight." She said, "I had a headache all afternoon and I wasn't going to come because I had a headache. I was just going to watch it on the Internet." You see, you have live streaming. I thought to myself, that's exactly why I do not like live streaming the services, because there is no substitute for the church meeting together. I mean, yeah, I had to be home for 3 weeks because of COVID, or 2.5 weeks because of COVID. And I'll tell you what, although I thank God that I was able to see the service, I was yelling at my computer most of the time while I was doing that. You know, why don't we do that? Let's throw this right over here. And whereas it was nice to hear the preaching and couldn't hear the singing quite as well, it's not the same. It is no substitute. It is just, well, virtual reality is what it is. Church choir. We still don't have our church choir going. Lord willing, we'll be getting that going soon as well. But that takes people. And, by the way, it takes practice. If you're going to do it right, you have to practice. Because I don't know anybody that just gets it all the time. And you're talking about a bunch of people, hopefully, singing for the glory of God. Not just so they can say that, well, my ministry is the choir. Well, man, if your ministry is the choir, you ought to be the best at it you can get. And for that, you need practice. I don't care how good your voice is. You need practice. Well, it's a great opportunity to preach on things. I'm just telling you different things we have to do. Obviously, we'll be getting back to weekly visitation more than just simply on Saturdays. And get that going again, hopefully full bore soon. Nursing home ministries, there have been jail and prison ministries. Power Hour and Team Soul Winning. Our Internet page has to be updated from time to time. has to be made clear for folks. We look at it, and we got to have folks that work on that for that to happen. We have Vacation Bible School, major work, just preparing for VBS, yet alone carrying it off to see people saved. Then you've got our homeschool umbrella, and we've got more ministries than that. How in the world does it all fit together? We look at the first church, and this first church, they didn't have any of the epistles to go by yet. They're not there. They didn't have 1 Timothy. Tell them how to carry it on. They kind of flew by the leadership of the Holy Spirit and by the seat of their pants. They were living it. And suddenly they've got big crowds. We're going to find by the time you get to chapter 5, they had included a widow's ministry. And in their widow's ministry, it created problems. Because there were people who were jealous, thinking that the Hebrew widows were getting more than the Grecian widows. And so there was murmuring, and everything had to stop till the murmuring got taken care of. You know, when you have ministries, you have people in the ministries, and guess what? People will be people, even if they're Christian people. People have feelings. By the way, most everybody has a bad day now and then. Some have more bad days than others. And they interact with one another. And they can't understand why you're not smiling at them. Or if you didn't say hi right. Christian people do get upset about things like that. And they don't forget. And once they start getting negative, then everything becomes negative. Person didn't smile, didn't shake their hand. They stopped shaking hands just before they got to me. They've done that 3 times now. What are you doing keeping count? What's wrong with you? You get busy just shaking hands yourself, you'll be too busy to count how many times somebody doesn't shake your hand. And by the way, if they don't shake your hand, whose fault is that? You can go up to them and shake their hand. Now, if you walk up to them with your hand out like that, you say, man, how you doing? And they look at you and give you an ugly look and walk away. Okay, be mad, fine. That doesn't happen very often, though, does it? Of course, we got a perfectly good excuse not to shake hands now. Because of the pandemic. Boy, that relieved us of a lot of things. But every ministry, everything I just talked about there, it requires people. It requires people to sacrifice of themselves for others. Every ministry we talked about, it requires time. And a lot of times, time that is not appreciated by the very ones that you're ministering to. But we're not ministering for them, we're ministering for the Lord. And if you think of this correctly, you go ahead and you continue to do your job because it is about reaching people. Now, we're not going to stop giving money to the works that are getting going there in Rwanda because they haven't each sent us a note thanking us. Do you understand? They got a lot of things to deal with themselves. And they've got a responsibility to reach their own country once they get going. Because it's not about whether or not people appreciate us. And a lot of people appreciate us, although they haven't said so. I know this. I sure don't want to get emails from all of them because I don't want to spend 3 days just reading emails. And it'll take longer than that if I have to write answers. But we're not going to stop doing that because it is about reaching people with the gospel of Christ. It's not about building our own kingdom. It's not about building a larger church. It's not about getting in some list of big churches in America. It's not about any of that. It is about what Christ left the church here to do. But that takes people. I don't care how busy any church is. There's always someone that complains, well, I don't know why they don't do this. I don't know why they don't do that. I mean, they must not care much if they don't do. I mean, there's more things we could do. Guess what it would take? More people. It's as simple as that. Somebody comes to me now with some new idea. I say, why don't you pray about working in something like that? And I get enough people ready to work in it, then we can start it. That's how we've started a number of ministries, because people got burdened about it. Matter of fact, that's how we started a death ministry. And when people got uninterested in it, that's how we stopped the death ministry. The deaf still need the gospel, though, don't they? But it takes people to work it. It takes time. All of this. With so much going on, there are times, though, we have to step back and take a look at everything that's going on and try to see how it fits in the church. Several years ago, I was preaching a revival at a church within about 40 miles from here. I got a call one evening. No, it wasn't a call. I'm sorry. It was a lady that came up to me after a service. And she said, "Pastor Allison, I'm really disturbed about something." I said, "What's that?" I thought she was going to say something about the preaching. She said, "Well, my husband and I run the van ministry to pick up kids to bring them to church." And she said, "Nobody else is doing anything in the van ministry and for the van ministry." Well, first I said, first thing you need to do is you need to go and talk to your pastor about it. But let me just give you a thought. Maybe God's called them to work in other ministries. And you know they could complain about you not being involved in their ministry. The truth is, no one person can be involved in all the ministries. Can't happen. Nobody's got that much time. It doesn't fit together. And sometimes we have to sit back and look at the ministries that we have. For instance, we started the Reformers Unanimous ministry here. And we got that going. Brother Brian did an awful lot of work getting the workers together for that. It didn't go here. It just didn't. It's worked in a lot of churches. Just didn't work here. I thought it'd be perfect for all these, you know, white-collar businessmen and so on who are stuck in drugs or pornography or booze and or things like that, for them to get their lives straightened out. But they only came until they got out of trouble with their wife or with the judge. And then they stopped coming. We didn't even require that they attend Madison Baptist Church. They could go to their own church. But as soon as they were out of trouble, they stopped coming. And that wasn't just one or two. That was the case all the way along. Now, that may say something about the character of people in our area. I don't know. So what is the church's purpose and what is its task? What are some things that we can get out of this very first day of soul winning with the church at Jerusalem when 3,000 got saved? Number one, in the church's purpose, we obviously see outreach. I mean, they're out preaching on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people get saved. Obviously, without outreach, there is absolutely no one to teach. Now, this is profound, isn't it? If you're not winning people, there's no one to teach. And we do not teach with the purpose of just giving people more knowledge. We teach with the purpose of people using the knowledge to go out and reach others, to help others, to give the gospel to others. You see, even with Madison Bible Institute, it's not about just learning more Bible. Tonight you can study the Bible on your own, and that's just it. But to give it to you in such a way that hopefully you will feel equipped to go ahead and go out and to reach others and to disciple others, to do the work of God. Had the 120 stayed in the upper room and just gathered around the Word, there'd have been no big church in Jerusalem. Been a long time before there'd have been an Apostle Paul, that's for sure. But they had the command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They had the command, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You understand, with our missions program, yes, that's getting the gospel to the lost. But you see, they're doing the rest of the Great Commission for us, but they're not doing the witnessing in our Jerusalem and Judea. That's supposed to be us. We are the missionaries for here. We can't say, well, hey, here's my check, my faith promise for missions. Whew. Now I have no more responsibility to the lost. I still have a responsibility to the lost. Because what I give to the missions, that reaches those out of those areas that I can't reach them, that I'll never go to, that I'll not see. And there will be people there to do that. So we evangelize. We win people to Christ. That's outreach. It's not just to get members, but to win people to Christ. You listen to Paul. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said before that, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that be in Rome also. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, take your own spiritual temperature here. Where is your spiritual temperature at reaching the lost? You know, the reality is we ought to have more lost people coming in here every service than what we do. But think about it for a moment. God never commands the lost to go to church. He calls the saved to go to the lost. And even if you feel intimidated at witnessing to the lost, hey, you can give them a track and you can invite them to the house of God, to church, where they'll hear the gospel. I mean, we seek to make it a point to preach the gospel over and over again. I know I lost one family because they thought we preached the gospel too much. I still don't understand that. That makes no sense at all to me. You get lost people in church, they need to hear the gospel. Amen. That means the job of the members, then, is to witness. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That needs to be a main thing for us. Bearing fruit each week. God, would you direct us to some people that we could get to the house of God, or we could give the gospel to and give a tract to? I mean, that's pretty exciting watching those people. I've not been to Rwanda, but I have been to Uganda. I was there at a time when you passed out tracts and people stopped and read them. And they never threw them down. I mean, you could throw tracts at them and there wouldn't be one on the ground by the time everybody left. Now, that's not America. That's not us. But among those people, their hunger and thirst to hear it and then to get those calls back. That's phenomenal. To get those calls to tell you that they had trusted Christ as Savior. Man, that's great. So our outreach. The church is always happiest when it's focused on outreach. Not focused on making people happy, but focused on outreach. Getting saved. A common goal. We get so excited about special get-togethers, and I'm not against special get-togethers. They did that here at the church as well, but not at the expense of winning the lost. So first of all, they had outreach. Number two, in every ministry has a part in that one way or another. There's worship. Verses 46 and 47 here in the passage that we read. Scripture says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Worship. Jesus said in John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you think much about worship? Now, you should worship God in your home. But you also come to church to worship God corporately. That's all of us together. We worship God. We do that in praise. We do that when we sing. That's why I think singing is so important. Whether you've got a good verse or a good voice or not, you ought to sing. You ought to give God what voice that you have. And praise Him with your voice. He gave you the voice. You say, but people around me aren't going to like my singing. Well, tell them to sing louder so they can't hear you. And that'll be fine. Shame on them for being quiet. It's always neat when you have some little kids singing in the auditorium. Those little kids, you can hear them above everybody. And that works until they get just about just over junior age. I'm not talking about junior in high school. I'm talking about that works up through fourth grade. Something happens in fifth and sixth grade. They start just moving their mouth and not singing very loud. Why do they lose that joy in singing? Well, mainly because as now they're starting to get more and more or closer to adults and adolescents, they don't see the adults and the adolescents singing very well. I mean, with their heart into it. Now, I've been thrilled here these last few weeks as we've gotten back together to hear Madison Baptist Church singing. The reality is, before this pandemic hit, our singing stunk. And it wasn't that we weren't hitting the notes. We were making a very small noise, very little participation. Now, that's got to be very frustrating for any song leader. And it's an encouragement to every song leader to have people singing from the heart in their worship for God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. You see, we're to praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, the psaltery and harp, with timbrel and dance, with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Man, when it comes to our singing praise, that is part of our worship. We ought to put our heart into that thing. Believe me, visitors can really tell it. But worship. And we don't want the man-made worship. We don't want the worship that just simply, you know, comes up with a form that's deader than a doornail. We want a true worship of God. Our doctrine has to be right. It needs to be right in the songs that we sing. Matter of fact, in our music, it shouldn't be the type of music that moves the flesh. It should be the type of music that draws the spirit closer to God. Now, that makes it pretty plain. If you notice, I'll never forget, I was in Jamaica with the Cooks several years ago. And they had a little church out in the country. And they'd have visitors in once in a while. And unfortunately, down in Jamaica, a number of the independent Baptist missionary churches had gotten a little swingy in their singing. When I say a little swingy, I mean, you know, body movements and everything. And I'm not going to make them for you. That would be terrible. Matter of fact, I'd probably throw my hip out if I did that. So I'm there. Here we are on a Sunday morning, and this visiting lady comes in. And Brother Bob led the singing. Now, Brother Bob seems to have been cursed to have to lead singing in most of the places where he's pastored. But because of the situation down there, and they didn't have a piano or anything, Bob would lead the singing slow on purpose. You know, let's see, I'm trying to think, what's one of the songs that we sang tonight? If we're going to sing Dwelling in Beulah Land, how does it start?
Far away the noise and strife upon my ear.
And there was this lady, she's in the last pew and she's going, he just wouldn't go fast enough to keep the motor running. That was a shame. But the music, that music was not going to move her physically. Trouble is so many of our churches, they're so dead spiritually that the only thing that gives them any feel at all is a music that simply feeds the flesh. And when we have to feed the flesh to worship, we're giving a false worship. You take a look at Israel, they came to Aaron and they said to Aaron, up, make us gods, because this Moses, he's been gone now for 40 days and we want to worship gods. And so he had them bring in all their jewelry. Out of that, he made the graven calf and he said, tomorrow there will be a feast to Jehovah. And so they had worshiped the golden calf that had been made. That was their feast to Jehovah. What was the problem? It wasn't according to truth. They were not to make a graven image. They were forbidden of making a graven image. And no matter how much that pleased them, and boy, they got excited. Excited to their shame, the things that were going on in their midst, the wickedness that went on, so much so that God was ready to destroy the whole nation. Had Moses not prayed, that's what would have happened. You see, God wants worship in spirit and in truth. You cannot worship Him without an attitude of submission to His Word and to His will. You have outreach, you have worship, and you have fellowship. You look at verse 42. In verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers," fellowship. Now, one of our tasks, according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, is to exhort one another daily while it is called today. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, he says, "Lest we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Fellowship. You need to get around one another. We're not around one another enough. You say, "What do you mean, preacher? We've got two services on Sunday. We've got a service on Wednesday." I got news for you. The New Testament church met every day. Now, their special day was, of course, the Lord's Day, which was the first day of the week. It was God's day. But you need to develop the right kind of relationships within the church, with people of the church, doing things together. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. The Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." But for the most part, we don't want to be bothered with one another's burdens. And that's a shame. Some are more concerned about "no one shows me they love me" instead of "what can I do to show that I love them." In the passage that we read, of course, in this passage, notice it says in verse 44, "And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." They made sure that their people were taken care of. In other words, they were winning so many people. Obviously, they had people who were hurting financially. After all, let's face it, following the Lord Jesus Christ was not anything that endeared them to the business community or family members who had not come to Christ. And so the church took on the responsibility of helping those people. Fellowship. Now, I think the key to fellowship, if you look in verse 46, he says, "And they continuing with one accord in the temple." The key to fellowship, a right kind of fellowship, is they met with one accord and singleness of heart. Their desire was the same, to reach the lost. The fact that there's not that kind of oneness has destroyed a lot of churches. By the way, it also destroys a lot of homes and marriages. They're not in one accord. Unfortunately, in too many marriages is "what is she doing for me? Or how is she fulfilling me? Or how is he fulfilling me?" Instead of "how am I meeting their need?" And in the church, it needs to be that way. So there's outreach, there's worship, there's fellowship, there's discipleship, obviously, in verse 42. "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." As a matter of fact, if you'll remember in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 19, when he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Then he says, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Why is it important we be at the house of God? Well, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice beginning in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see, it's at the church where you learn and you grow. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, because I'm for individual discipleship. It's great you win somebody to Christ to teach them in these first things and growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But the reality is, your greatest discipleship is going to be at the house of God. Being faithful where you're hearing the preaching every service, where you're getting the Sunday school classes, where you're getting the time. You say, but I don't see Sunday school in the Bible. They met on Sunday. They were schooled in the things of God, doctrine. They were schooled in it. Now, I don't care if you call it Bible study. I don't care if you call it Sunday school. I don't care if you just call it Sunday and we meet together for two services. When the congregation congregates, the congregation is to be congregating. The assembly is to be assembled. That's what the church is. I don't care what name you put on it. And if you meant on Monday night too, that would be all right. If you meant on Monday early in the morning. I know in reading the book, and they found the church there about when the American flyers were shot down in the South Pacific and landed on some of those islands that had cannibals on them. They were always concerned about who would find them, because there were a number of missionaries who had died in trying to reach the natives of some of those islands. And they reached many. And boy, were they thrilled when they got found by some of the natives that had been won to Christ by missionaries. And in their testimony, they talked about getting up at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, to meet with the believers that were there on the island in those tribes. And then they'd be meeting again that night. And they did that every day of the week. I got news for you. You got shot down on one of those islands, you'd be glad to hear them singing, you know, any song about Jesus. Onward, Christian soldiers, that'd be wonderful. But discipleship. Why did he give these things? Listen, there's no way that those 120 could go out and take care of the 3,000 that got saved. But if the 3,000 all came in, they could disciple them real good, couldn't they? And they could continue to win people. And of course they did. Or they wouldn't say, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So with all those ministries that we have, some meet one need more than another, but there's outreach, worship, fellowship, discipleship. And then, of course, there is service. Look, beginning at verse 44. Let's go back to it here. In Acts chapter 2. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. When you get over to chapter 5, you find that they had obviously taken on the widow's ministry, and people were serving there too, while they were still winning the lost and bringing people to Jesus Christ. Part of the purpose of having the different gifts is for the edification of the church. It was all to be done in edifying, in building up the church, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, he didn't save us to sit in a pew. He saved us to serve. He demands service out of us. He wants us to glorify his name. In Titus chapter 2, and we've read this many times, but it won't hurt to look at it again. Titus chapter 2. You notice he says, beginning in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I used to be a sports nut, and I would listen sometimes to the different sports shows that were on the radio, and whether it be basketball or baseball, they would start talking about those all-around ball players. You know, those guys that could do everything, that they were long past playing for themselves. They were playing for the team. And You could always count on them. They were the well-rounded ones. And the truth is, we ought to be well-rounded Christians. We ought to be not only being discipled, but discipling others as well. We're to be winning others. We're to be getting the gospel out in every way that we can to get the gospel to a lost and dying world, and trying to get them under the sound of the gospel, and then see them growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. That's what we're about. Every ministry at Madison Baptist Church, meets at least one of these needs. Now, sometimes it's the believers in their needing to be built up. The ministries are there. Or since everything's to be done decently and in order, that's why we have ushers to help us out in our service, to keep things decently and in order, so people can hear the preaching and not be afraid that something wrong is going to be going on outside. I mean, there's a lot to be done, a lot of different ministries going on. We got to make sure that the main thing, though, always stays the main thing. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, it's wonderful seeing those buildings going up over there in Rwanda. Praise God for that. It's wonderful, all the giving. And all that giving's not just been Madison Baptist Church. There have been a number of other gifts that have come in greatly to enhance and get the building going in different cities. That's wonderful to see those things taking place in that place. But that's not the only place that needs it. They need it all over. God's given us a special ministry there. Praise the Lord. And thank God for raising up Brother Tony to have that kind of a burden. Because without that kind of a burden, it still wouldn't be being done. And God gave it to a man that would do something with it, with the burden, to get it done. Now, all right, we have a burden for that. We want to see it work. We've done a bunch to help in that, but that's also not our only missionary. We've got other missionaries as well who are trying to do ministries, and we have a responsibility to them. Ah, but that's also not all that we do, because we've got thousands of people all around us right here that need the gospel. And we are the missionaries for them. Outreach. We have a responsibility. Now, the point you have to ask is, what's your part in that? What is your part in that? We all have a part in it, in service. Would it be great if Madison Baptist Church did more? Yeah, but guess what that would mean? It would mean more people taking more time in order for it to get done. But without more people taking more time to do it and being faithful, people that you can count on, to take a ministry or be used in a ministry that would be faithful, only then would it be the success it needs to be in reaching others. It all works together. All the ministries work together. And they work different things. But they only work if there are people to work. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, challenge our hearts. Sought to be as honest as I can be with your people tonight to challenge us. We can do more. I think we've kind of gotten in rest mode during the pandemic. And Lord, forgive us where we have allowed that to just accent our laziness instead of fulfilling our responsibility. And God, help us to be what we need to be. Move upon us tonight. There's one here without Christ. May they come to Jesus and be saved. I pray for believers tonight. May they come and offer themselves to you for whatever you would have them to do. And use us for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask it.